you're home at night, and where's Dad? Oh, he's over on the computer. Not that he's doing anything wrong on the computer, but every night Dad's on the computer, and we're not talking to one another.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Family.
So how's the internet affecting you? Your family? Is there too much time being spent online? How about that cell phone, texting, and more? Is it driving you crazy? Today, technology and process addiction.
Little hands, shoeless feet, lonely eyes looking back at me. Will we leave behind the innocent to grieve? On their own, on the run, when their lives have only begun. These could be our daughters and our sons. And just like a drum, I can hear their hearts beating. I know my God won't let them be defeated. Every child has a dream to belong and be loved. Boys become kings, girls will be queens, wrapped in your majesty. When we love the least of these, then they will be brave and free. Shout your name in victory. When we love the least of these, when we love the least of these.
Welcome back to Life, Love, and Family. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Today we're going to talk about, yes, that cell phone, the internet, the craziness that's going on in our modern day, everyday life. And yes, we've got to talk about it. Why? Because it is driving us crazy. People are even talking about how it's an addiction for our kids. How about for the big kids out there? People like you and me. Our special guest today, Dr. Greg Jantz. He's the founder of The Center, a place of hope in Edmonds, Washington. He's a licensed mental health counselor. He's got his doctorate in counseling psychology, speaks all over the country, around the world. He's written a lot of books, 28 to his credit. He's appeared on the 700 Club. He's been featured by CNN, ABC, CBS, and he's been interviewed by the New York Post, the Associated Press, Family Circle, Women's Day, and more. Dr. Jantz, welcome back to Life, Love, and Family.
It is good to be here today. We're talking about technology and what role does it have in your life?
We are, Greg. Listen, here's a quote. The computer is like electronic cocaine, instigating cycles of mania and depression. Greg, here's another one. There's just something about the medium that's addicting. We mentioned the word process addiction right up front. Let's jump into that.
Okay.
What is a process addiction and how does it relate to us?
Well, a process addiction could be like gambling. It's going to be a compulsive behavior. It could be a sexual addiction. It could be your relationship with food and eating disorder. Internet's a process addiction. And I'm going to say technology or the misuse of technology.
Greg, when you use the word addiction, that's a whole lot more than, quote, I've got a problem with something. I've got a real problem with it here. Everybody's concerned about it. But there's a tipping point that we're talking about where this, yes, it has become something more in his or her life. Maybe it's my husband. Maybe it's my wife. Whatever.
You know, Tim, I wrote about this in a book called Hooked. And here's what we're seeing. In a recent survey, 87% of those surveyed of Americans, this is adults, said, if I can't get to my device within an hour, I will feel anxious. Now, anxious means I have physical symptoms. I get the sweaty palms. My heart rate goes up. So anxiety, if I don't get to my technology within an hour. Now, I have to look at myself. And I got to tell you, I realized in my own home, all right, I have two sons and my wife, that one day I said, we're going to do an experiment. We gathered up everything with a screen, cell phones, Game Boys, all of the things that have a screen and laptops. And we had 18 devices among us three guys. And not that we were using them all the time. And I go, there's something going on here. And I realized one night at the dinner table, my two boys were texting each other at the dinner table instead of talking. And I realized we have an issue in our own family here.
Greg, and it's an issue for a lot of families. Have you ever had like that phantom vibration, like your phone's ringing or something and it's not ringing? That's how insane this is.
And what happens is, and why we're talking about this today, Tim, is the effect this has on our relationships. Now, I'm not against technology. But what happens is, if it takes a role in your life where it begins to be disruptive to relationships, it's like you're home at night and where's dad? Oh, he's over on the computer. Not that he's doing anything wrong on the computer, but every night dad's on the computer and we're not talking to one another.
Again, we're talking about technology and process addiction. Special in-studio guest, Dr. Greg Jantz. He's here with us now on Life, Love, and Family. And by the way, he's written a book on this called Hooked. Greg, here's a statement. I've seen plenty of patients who have no history of addictive behavior who have become addicted to the internet and other technologies. One more. Scientists at Oxford University warn that children who spend too much time on social network sites can suffer from personality and brain disorders. Greg, connect the brain and the social media and this addiction piece together for us here.
Tim, that's why this is so important. Let's say you've got a young person in your home and you've had unregulated screen time. We have a developing brain, and that brain is developing up to about age 25 and growing in size.
Right.
Here's what happens. I've overstimulated the brain. I've got all these intense games going on. The kid's on social media, and the kid's 10 years old, right? Maybe the kid's even stepped over into some pornography online.
That's what's scary, too, Greg. We're not just talking about texting each other.
Yeah, right,
we're talking
right.
about pornography, gaming, gambling, stuff that doesn't need to be in the home.
Absolutely. And, well, here's what's happened. I've overstimulated that brain. And so over time, I've created a craving brain. So now I'm a preteen, I'm a teenager, and my brain has been overstimulated. I got to have a stimuli. And so I set myself up for an addicted brain. So it's easy for me then to look for the stimuli through drugs, through pornography. This is why the American Pediatric Board has established now rules or guidelines for parents on how much screen time per age. So different ages are saying limit the screen time.
When a person gets addicted, and I don't think people have a problem with this,
right.
Addicted to alcohol or drugs, what they're doing is they're ingesting a substance to create a desired effect. In other words, when they ingest this, it alters the brain chemistry, which eventually develops some type of state of euphoria or what have
you. It changes my mood.
It changes something in them,
yes.
Okay? So we ingest this chemical. When you're talking about a behavior or a process addiction, you don't have to have a substance
right.
to change brain chemistry is what we're talking about here. We're saying things like gambling. People don't have a problem with that. They think gambling's an addiction. And when you start seeing the brain scans of people get caught up in it, you get it. Pornography. Everybody listen. We all agree that it can alter brain chemistry and is highly addictive.
And it does over time.
And so what you're saying is this technology piece is doing the same thing to our brains. And especially to our younger brains.
The developing brain is a particular concern. So absolutely, then I have this addicted brain. So then it's easy for me to step over the line. I can have a gambling brain or a brain that is pulled towards pornography. So yes.
So I've got this technology addiction, and then I've got this other stuff too. My life then gets like a total disaster.
You know what I'm doing, Tim, is I'm layering addictions in my life.
Wow.
I want you to use the technology. But I want us to have as I did with my own family, look at what role does technology have in our family? What's our technology boundaries? Do an experiment. How much time do you spend either online or texting? How disruptive is it? Have you ever been to lunch with somebody and you're talking and they're sitting there texting and they're having another conversation with somebody else and they look up at you and they say, "What'd you say?"
Greg, that's like every day.
Okay.
You hear what I'm saying? And people out there listening would say, uh-huh, that's like every day now. Help us with the Hooked issue.
Okay.
Where is that tipping point? Because most listening would say, oh, our home's out of control here. Some are probably starting to think maybe we're in real trouble.
If I can't set it aside and be fully present with you and give you my full attention without being in thought about, I got to get to my device, I got to be texting, I got to be connecting with somebody. If I can't give you my attention, I may have a problem.
Diane Langberg is a good friend of mine. She's a psychologist out of Philadelphia. But Diane made a statement one time that made sense to me, Greg. She said it this way, that which you can't fast from owns you. In other words, whatever it is in your life that you can't stop and take a break from it, it owns you. You've got a problem with it.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. Can I take myself one day a week and do what I'll call a technology fast? Can I fast for one day?
Just or maybe it's an hour or something.
Well, I said, okay, pick a day. And this guy said, okay, I'll do Sunday, Dr. Jan. So I said, good, good. When I saw him again, he goes, you know, I did it. I did it. I only checked my email for about 5 minutes. We can't seem to put it down. Here's how to know if you have a problem. I set it aside for an hour, and if I'm preoccupied with it, if I'm starting to have physical symptoms. Now, we know that the folks that we work with who truly have an internet addiction, that in about a 2-hour period, they're going through withdrawal symptoms. They literally will have sweaty palms. They will have increased blood pressure. And you're going to see all the typical withdrawal symptoms, probably headaches, and they're going to be irritable because they can't get to their device. And they feel all these symptoms.
Greg, you had mentioned earlier that it affects our relationships.
Yes.
I want to press a little bit deeper into that because that's what this is all about. Technology, while it moves us closer together in a lot of ways, it has made us more alone or lonely in our everyday life. People are like desperate for some type of connection. They're posting all kinds of craziness up on the internet, and people aren't responding, and it only fuels the brokenness and the aloneness. Here we've got a beautiful gift in technology that in so many ways destroying us, and it's destroying most significantly our ability to connect with other human beings.
We can use technology or texting as a way to avoid intimate relationships because texting has its own relationship and it puts me at a distance. And so for our kids in particular who are texting, they have all these quote relationships, they're not going through the normal relationship stages. They're not developing what we would call healthy relationships. And so we look at this and go, okay, how is this really affecting my relationships? There are some women when surveyed that says, you know, it's safer for me to be online and social media than it is to be with somebody in person. You know, the fastest growing users, for example, of Facebook are women mid-30s up to about 45. They're the fastest growing users. And what is the Facebook doing for them? They're looking for a way to connect. But what the research shows us is the more time I spend on social media, the more isolated I actually feel. So the more depressed I become, the more I spend time on it. Now, you be connected, that's fine. But how much time am I really spending on it? And what is that really doing to my quality of relationship?
What's amazing, too, is the concern that a lot of parents have where their kids are late at night living up on the internet, doing social media and still struggling yet and feeling so cut off and alone. And you can start talking about cyberbullying and all
yes.
kinds of things. Every parent listening right now knows whether or not you're close with your son or daughter. Let's just stop right there. Mom or dad, you know that. You also know whether or not this new world of technology and social media has begun to affect your relationship.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's where the relationship deterioration is beginning to spiral on you. You think you're close, but you know whether or not you really are.
Being connected doesn't mean I'm close. Remember, the definition of friend is one of the many strangers on Facebook. So as you look at this, go, I can be really connected, but really not in relationship. And I can have a sense of even false intimacy via my connections. And then we need to be careful about this because we can be so ego-driven that, you know, I've got all these friends and people follow me on Twitter. I must be important. And if I can't get to it, if I can't send out that tweet.
There's some Christian leaders out there who are feeding this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're as consumed with, quote, how many followers they have, and they're tweeting like 30, 40, 50 times a day. Seriously, are you that important? But it's easy to get caught up in this spin.
Oh, it is. Because now I think, oh, I'm so important. Everybody's relying on me.
Which, by the way, creates the same chaos in the people who are following you because
yes.
you're feeding it. It's what you're doing. Now, we got a problem.
All right.
Ding, 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 ding. Our family, we're in trouble.
Yep.
Maybe we're not completely out of control, but this needs to be dealt with. Step one, where are we going?
Step one, what are my technology boundaries in my home? Just look at it. Go, okay, do I have time boundaries? For example, in our home, we have a time boundary with our kids. Your devices are put on the charger in the public area. We have a certain time. If they're not on there by 8 o'clock in our home, then you don't have it the next day. So it's just a time boundary. We don't sleep with
And it's going to vary. It's going to vary, vary by family, everything like that.
And by age. So that's one. Just one of my time boundaries. Do you allow, for example, texting on the way to school if you have school-age kids? We know that so often that's not a good idea. That you mentioned cyberbully behavior. You know, one text that a kid can receive in the morning can ruin their whole day. Are we allowing that distraction to start the day? Now, this is going to be age-appropriate, too. So as kids get older, some of these things change. Here's number three. Tim, what am I modeling in my home? Am I walking down the hallway and I'm texting and running into the wall myself? You know, what am I demonstrating?
Did you see that piece up on YouTube that time that woman was walking through the mall on her phone and she actually flipped right into a fountain?
I remember seeing that.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's how crazy we are.
And am I doing that at home? What am I mentoring or modeling in my home? The other is, do I have an open policy with kids? Do I have passwords to the devices? Am I talking about some of the new social media that we need to be talking about because kids are using it? Do I know? And that's another question. Do I even know what my kids are doing?
So you're saying, Greg, that you need to have an open social media policy. Mom and dad are actually allowed to look at their kids' stuff?
Oh, yes. And we actually then have a written agreement. So we have a written agreement. In fact, we just renewed this at the beginning of the year, and we re-signed it. I have one for both of my sons, and mom and dad both signs it. But we went through, here's the rules of technology in our home that we're all going to live by. So we kind of made it a formal agreement.
You know, one thing that I recommend too is mom and dad, you need to learn about social media. Don't let your kids just live in that world alone. Be their friend. Get up on there. Monitor the sites. Know what the interaction is. What I've done with my own kids is they're buddies I'm friends with.
You know it.
And it's fun. Seriously, we need to be in their space. You are right. You said something just a minute ago, Greg, that resonated with me. Something that can come through on a cell phone could ruin their day. You know what I said in my own mind right there? Then I need to send something to my kids that helps them what?
Bless their day.
You got it. Let's take control of this is what you're saying.
And be truthful. It's like any other addiction. Am I walking in denial? Do I really have an understanding how much time I'm spending? What we know right now is that the more time you spend on social media, the more you set yourself up for relational problems, isolation, and depression.
Why is that?
Because we're not having real relationships. Now, you got family members across the country. You want to connect with them. You got friends. Yes, of course.
Just because you're connecting with someone, you know, sending a text or something like, happy birthday, that doesn't mean you have a relationship with them is what you're saying.
Yes. You probably don't have an intimate relationship with them.
It's just kind of like, hey, happy birthday. Oh, he told me happy birthday. He's my friend. Well, not really. He doesn't even know you. Really?
Yeah.
He just knows that it's your birthday because it popped up on his calendar that today was your birthday. Otherwise, he would not have remembered probably.
Exactly.
And by the way, you can develop relationships, and there are wonderful things about social media.
Absolutely.
And it is nice to have a happy birthday coming from somebody. But Greg, what the soul is craving is more.
So what I'm looking at now, Tim, is what needs is this meeting of myself? So I may feel like I'm in an unhappy marriage and I'm looking for social media and what others are saying about me in order to feel better about myself.
And then you go back and you start thinking about some old relationships and you're connecting with old high school boyfriends or girlfriends. And hey, do you remember when we were crazy? Those days are gone. But man, you remember the fun we had and these, quote, benign, innocent conversations get started, Greg, and then they spin. Because we're what? We're desperate to love and be loved. We're not doing very well in our current relationships, so we're reaching for anything to fill that hole in our soul.
Now, remember, when you reconnect with somebody from the past or somebody from the high school, you are connecting with what you remember about them in the past as though nothing's changed. And we need to be very careful because things have changed. So,
especially when you see the picture of him posted up there. Oh, he's got furniture disease. His chest has dropped to his drawers.
It brings us to another important point, Tim, is that we present our very best online. I can be anybody online.
I can put on all the positives.
Oh, I'm perfect online. Yeah.
It's like driving around in my truck. I'm the best singer in the whole world, right? Best drummer in the whole world.
Exactly.
I can't sing worth anything.
All of us present our best online. Reality gets distorted.
Greg, what if this is more than just a problem? This is a very significant challenge in my life now. And yes, I've gotten caught up in some behaviors because I am desperate to love and be loved. and I'm out of control. I've got some of that unmanageability. I've got some of this decision-making going on in my life that's not okay. It's not acceptable. I'm in trouble. What do I do now?
You make a decision that I'm going to invest more time in real relationships in person than online. So here's the thing. I'm going to begin to look to people that I'm going to become involved with. This may be in a group. This may be through reestablishing friendships, but I'm going to spend more real time versus online time with people. See if you can begin to make that transition. It's going to be awkward. Somebody who's been addicted to social media, when they sit down in real time with a person and try to carry on.
They get bored and they jump right back into their social media.
Exactly, because you're used to that high level of stimuli and multi-stimuli and multi-contact from all kinds of different people, and you're going to find it hard just to be with that person in front of you. I want you to do it. Practice a real relationship. And there are some of us that this is going to be so difficult, and I really have been struggling with an addiction that I'm going to need probably to get some help because I may have some other process addictions that have crept in. I may be compulsive or impulsive. You know, we live in a one-click society, and maybe I've gotten myself into trouble even buying things online. Maybe I've begun to cross lines in an online activity that I need some professional intervention.
Greg, say it's my son, it's my husband. I just don't know what to do. I've tried talking. When we do talk about it, everybody gets angry and everybody shuts down or goes to their room. And you're right, we've got a relationship problem. What are we going to do now? How do I confront them or how do I deal with this in love like the Bible says?
Well, you can do a little family meeting. Don't expect everybody to be excited.
How do we do this family meeting without pointing fingers and everybody getting angry and blowing up and leaving the room like we always do?
Okay, well, we're going to all take our devices and throw them on the coffee table in the middle of the room. And we're going to sit down and you're going to start it by saying, I sure love you guys so much. And I just want to have a little bit of time with you. So don't do this in a judgmental way. And don't talk negative towards the devices or towards them. Just say, I love you so much. And I just want us to have a little bit of time together. And, you know, it's kind of funny. We can toss everything on the table there because we're going to hear the vibrations going off and the text messages coming in. We're going to see how distracting it really is. But begin to ask questions of your family members. You know, how are we doing as a family? What would you like to see different? But move technology out of that. Just start to have some real discussions. Over time, okay, one day a week, our family's going to do a technology detox. We've done this several times, and it's a little bit awkward at first. And I got to tell you, I'm just as guilty because I wanted to check my email. But we took some time where we just focused on one another. And I got to tell you, I don't regret doing that.
Incremental steps. You don't have to blow the whole thing up, you know, and burn the phones like they used to say, burn all the records and all that. No, no, no. What we are saying, though, is it needs to start. We need to get it going because we need relationship trumps everything, not devices. It's one-on-one. It's about loving and being loved. Let me tell a story here as we wrap things up. I remember doing radio years ago, and here's a familiar name, Josh McDowell, who's spoken about the faith, and he teaches us about our kids. Josh and I are doing a radio interview together, Greg, and we're talking about our kids, and I was talking about my son, Zach, and my daughter, Megan, and Josh stops me in the radio program, and he says, listen to me, son, talking to me. Wait, it's my show. But he says, listen to me, son, you don't go out and make memories. He said, I'm sick of hearing about all that stuff. I appreciate people taking trips and doing things like going to the ball game and things like that. But listen to me. You don't make memories with your kids. You are the memory.
You are the memory.
You are the memory. And what your kids need are heavy doses of you every day. They don't need the trip to see the Braves or the Pirates play. That's fun. That's a blessing if you get to do it. But what they need are heavy doses of you. They don't need a just simple text message. It's valuable. They need you, not a text message. You got it?
Shoulder to shoulder time. We don't always know what to say, but be there with them.
I like that a lot, Greg. That's what this program today has been all about. Dr. Jantz, last word is yours.
You know, there is hope. And start. Make a decision today that technology is not going to be disruptive in my relationships. I'm going to put the relationship first.
Break up. Once again, help us to remember when.
So the real issue is, what about you? What about your family? Is social media a problem for you? Has it become highly addictive in your life, in the life of somebody you love? Let me stay with this. So what are you going to do about it? That's what we've been talking about here, Dr. Jantz. Greg, we need to be careful. We need to get help, right?
Today is your day to make that decision. I'm putting my relationships first, Tim, today.
It all starts with a decision. And Dr. Jantz, I just appreciate the heart that God's given to you. And you're right. Don't be controlled. Don't be overrun by the things of this world. Slow it down. Get it back in perspective. Focus on what matters most. That's why we come to you every day on this radio station at this time, because it really is all about helping you strengthen your personal relationship with Jesus, that faith walk you have. It's all about helping you strengthen your love, your marriage. It's about helping you build a stronger family every day. That's why we're coming here. If we can be of help to you, Dr. Jantz, where can they go?
Oh, please call us now at 855-455-3264. That's 855-455-3264. Visit us as well at lifeloveandfamily.net.
If you want to learn more about Dr. Jantz, he's the founder of the Center, a Place of Hope in Edmonds, Washington. Maybe someone you love needs some type of special care. You can learn a lot more about him, his books, and that new book he has called Hooked, up on our website, lifeloveandfamily.net. Thanks for listening.
Life, Love, and Family.
Dan was so depressed, all he could do was lay in bed. He tried all different kinds of therapy, programs, medications. Nothing worked. But his wife says as soon as she saw the website, aplaceofhope.com, she knew that that was going to be the key to her husband's healing. And it was. Aplaceofhope.com. They don't just treat depression. They treat the whole person. If you've tried everything and you or someone you love needs help with depression, call 888-771-5166 or find out more. Aplaceofhope.com.
Women in depression, get confidential help. 1-877-257-9612. Women addicted to alcohol or drugs, get confidential help. 1-877-257-9612. Women with anxiety or eating disorders, trauma, and PTSD, get confidential help. Timberline Knowles Residential Treatment Center. 1-877-257-9612 or timberlineknowles.com.